Welcome to MoneyMD, where the money doctors are in the house. We're giving out prescriptions for better financial health and making smart decisions with your money. We give common sense solutions to your complex problems. And now, here are the doctors.
Well, Matthew, it's springtime.
Yeah, and it feels like it, right?
It does.
With the weather. Goodness
Flowers
gracious.
Blooming outside, pollen all over the place.
Yep, our cars are going to be yellow here soon.
Yellow cars, yellow rainwater.
Everything.
Yeah, we put up this, or maybe a month ago, I put up this plastic tarp in my screened-in porch. Because every year it gets pollen in there, and then it takes forever to clean everything.
Yeah.
And I put this, it took probably an hour to hang it up, and I'm like, I'm very thankful.
It's worth it. It's
gonna be Yeah. And and we'll reuse it every year. And anyway, but yeah, spring's here. I'm a big college basketball fan. March Madness is here. Yeah.
Masters is right around the
Masters
corner.
Masters is around the corner. My team, Marquette, I went to Marquette, for those who don't know, they're ranked 8th in the country. So we're hoping they have a good run this
college
year.
College basketball, yeah.
Yep. Well, yeah, so.
Your son likes basketball too, right?
He does. He does. He plays basketball. So we watch together. We play together.
That's fun.
He likes that a lot. So it's a fun time for us.
That's great, man.
And outdoors, it's nice. What do you like to do outdoors? What do you do?
Yeah, so I enjoy biking a lot, cycling on the Greenway and on the canal.
Nice.
Do that, with other people, by myself. But my wife and I enjoy camping and hiking a lot. We just went hiking up at Chimney Rock.
Okay.
In North Carolina this past weekend, which was just a blast.
Yeah, there's beautiful. A lot of good spots here. Some near, some you drive a little bit toward, but it's nice. Yeah. Well, good. Yeah, so by the way, my name is Zach Albanese. I'm a certified financial planner. I've been at Richard Young for 3 years now. I've been in the industry for about 5.
And I'm Matthew Travis. I'm also a certified financial planner and have been here at the firm for coming up on 6 years.
6 years. It's good. And we're excited to have you listening with us today. We're up exclusively every week on Fridays, and you can find our podcast on our website, which is moneymd.net, or if whatever podcast service you subscribe to, you can find us or listen to us any in the world. Also, check out our website, moneymd.net. You can listen to old shows. You can ask us questions. We love hearing from you, and so that's just a great place to find us. We got a good show for you guys today. The first topic we're going to talk about are the 9 regrets that retirees have. I think this is a good one. Good conversation piece. And then, Matthew, you're going to get into home exclusion.
Yeah, for capital gains.
Yeah,
right.
So, that's good.
If you're selling a house, is there a tax on the gain?
That's a good question. A very important question. I feel like we come across that quite a bit, so that'd be good to dig into. But before we get into the articles, we're going to talk about the financial fact. And so I'll tell you the fact.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. What's the fact?
Here's the fact. It says, according to LendingTree, the average credit card interest rate, what do you think it is? I mean, you have the sheet in front of you.
Yeah, so I'm looking at the answer.
Just
so
guess.
Is it around 24.61%?
It's around there. That's not as exact as I wanted it.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it's around 24.61%.
And that's increased. So I mean, a couple years ago, it was around 17%. We're looking back. And so that number has increased from what it was already at a high point.
That is incredible, that interest rate.
Yeah, it's very high.
I'm using the word incredible negatively.
Right.
In case you didn't.
Yeah, and so, this interest rate is, we talk about the markets getting in the 8-10% range historically over time, and you're talking about paying a consumer debt that's, 3 times that on average, and they can be higher than that. So it's incredibly high for
debt. Yeah, and so if you're in this situation, I encourage you to sit down, plan out a budget to get that paid off. What I say about debt a lot is, debt is obviously some things in life, houses, education, it's quote unquote good debt, but there's consumer debt, which is really not great especially because the interest rate's so high. But really the plan for tackling this debt is really just to have a plan to pay it off. Whether it takes you a year, 2 years, 3 years, just know how long it's going to take you. And a way that's sustainable with your budget, and you really will tackle it. But when you feel so overwhelmed that you don't think about it, is when it really starts to eat at you. So yeah, that's a tough fact, but a real one that we should be aware of.
Yeah, and we see that with people. But yeah.
So, okay, good fact, good thing to consider. That's not one of the big regrets is credit card debt. So we're going to get into that here. This is a first article we're going to read, 9 of the biggest regrets I see as a financial planner. So it's written by Andrew Rosen, who's also a CFP. This was on Kiplinger. And yeah, these are the 9 regrets he's seen. And I think we probably see all of them as well. So we'll talk through them and yeah, kind of give our thoughts as we discuss Andrew's. So, you know, it's often wise to say live with no regrets. It can be maybe a little idealistic, but really it's inevitable. We're going to live with regrets. That's just kind of human nature. And really, you know, as we think about it, the regrets we do have, the mistakes we made, we live, we grow, we end up, those regrets actually end up being a source of wisdom and insight to others. You can think of mistakes that your siblings have made, your parents have made, your friends have made, and how they actually, we as being close to them and in community with them, we learn from our own mistakes, but we also learn from the mistakes of others. And so our failures actually start to form us more so than our unhindered successes. But I do think it's good, as Andrew, the author of this, points out, to heed the wisdom of others through the mistakes that they've made. Mm. And so this is really what this article is trying to help us do. How can we see what others have regretted and stop pursuing whatever path we're on to make those similar mistakes? Mm. The author goes into kind of a little personal situation of 2 main regrets he's had. First, he said he regrets not doing study abroad when he was in college. He said he sat home, missed out an experience of a lifetime. Second, he said he regrets not having more heart-to-heart father-son conversations with his dad before he passed prematurely. And so he, as he reflected on those regrets, he wrote this article. And I think it's good to share, because he said as he shared his regrets, his brothers did do study abroad, and he's encouraged some of his other friends to spend more time with their loved ones. And yeah, I mean, I think I share similar regrets to him with study abroad. I didn't do it at the time. I thought it was not necessary. And I really wish I did do that. I did that as well. Because now I love going places, exploring, kind of being, a tourist and immersed in a sense of like, you're just full of wonder and you're also kind of a newbie in the society. You don't even speak the language, and you're trying to fumble around. And so anyway, I think that's such a valuable experience. We don't get much of those today. But yeah, I don't know, Matthew, what about your, any like regrets to that extent?
Yeah, it's a good question.
You don't need to say anything
either. Yeah, I don't know that. So I read a book, and this really changed my perspective, not to mitigate what this article is saying, it's a book by J.I. Packer, and the title is Knowing God.
Yep.
And it talks about how we can ultimately see hardships in our past or things that we've missed out on, not as stumbling blocks, but as stepping stones to get to where we are now. And you mentioned that earlier in the article, is like, it's what forms us, and it's who we are today is based on past experiences and what we've learned. And so there are regrets. There are things that's like, man, I wish I would have handled this differently, or I wish I would have done this or not done that. But I do think that, you know, viewing where we have been and where we are as not accidental, or it's very intentional and purposeful. So yeah, I mean, I would need to think through the specific regrets on that, but. You know, as financial planners, Zach, we do often get a front row seat to learn about people's regrets and their accomplishments and what they wish they would have done differently. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sadly, one person's regrets can be another person's opportunity. We can capitalize on, hey, you didn't get to do this. And, you know, maybe it benefits someone else that you didn't. You know, with that said, some of the regrets that this author has seen, and we'll discuss them as we go along, you know, we'll go through 9 of them. But, you know, our hope is that one of them may strike a chord with you, and we can learn from one another's experiences. Yeah. You know, with these things in our lives, that's like, man, I wish I would have done this more or less going through life.
Yeah, and I think what you said, Matthew, was good. I think a lot of times we can view regrets as like, we can't have regrets if we are only living in our very, you know, individualistic bubbles. But when we have families and communities and, you know, even work, and you're, like you said, our mistakes aren't regrets so much as they're stepping stones, and people can see those and observe them and learn from them. And I think, that's why I like this article as he frames it kind of in his relationship with his family. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think as you were saying too, we're not just regretting because we missed out on experience, but we want to share those things with others as well. So anyway.
Yeah, and I think just on that, Zach, you know, not being self-conscious about things that you haven't done quite well, but like you're saying, like being vulnerable and being honest with your kids and your grandkids and your neighbors and your family, and to say, no, like, you know, this is something that we can all learn from.
Yeah.
And so the first one that this author goes into is spending too much time working. And almost every list that, you know, this person has read or we've spoken to, they all say the same thing. They wish they would have worked less. The blood, sweat, and tears they spilled for their job simply were not worth it, especially when they think about all the opportunity costs that that time took away from them.
Yeah.
Good example, I mean, just very practically is, hey, you've been working for 50 years, and let's say you're 70. You're financially able to retire.
Yeah.
But some people's identities are so baked into the job that they do that they don't stop. And then they're 75, then they're 80. And there's nothing inherently wrong with working continued. But it's just asking the question, all right, why are you doing this? Are you doing it because you want more money and you're not content? Are you doing it because you don't know what you would do outside of work? These are good questions to explore. But yeah, one of the regrets would be spending too much time working.
Yeah, that's a good one. I think we definitely see that a lot with our clients and just people in general. The second regret is not taking better care of themselves. You know, most older folks will look back, wish they took better care of themselves. And in many cases, if they had, they would have a better quality of life in their later years. I mean, Matthew, to your point, you work hard for 50 years, you retire, and then you enjoy life. But it's like, man, I really wish I had a little bit more freedom earlier on when I could move better, or you just felt better about yourself. So, looking back, you know, if you look back and think of your younger years when you consider yourself invincible, to think, you know, what that extra smoke or drink or food or lack of exercise would do in your later years. Mm. And think about that. So one of the regrets that he comes across is not taking better care of yourselves. The next one does relate to all these is not enjoying the moment more. You know, this one comes up a lot of times too. And the author says he's heard this from a lot of his big time executive friends who tell him they've traveled the world. They've traveled the world, they've seen it all, and yet they haven't really appreciated something more than being home.
Hmm.
Isn't that interesting?
Very.
You've done it all, yet they wish they just stopped and, you know, smelled the roses more. I think that's, I hear those stories and I'm like, okay.
It's insightful.
It is. Yeah.
It's insightful because we have clients who, you know, we have clients in that boat who do so much, and there's a lot of enjoyment in that. Mm-hmm. But then it is almost like, okay, well, you know, do you enjoy the simple things of time with your grandkids?
And,
and the answer is maybe it's yes, and maybe it's both. But and that's great, is just enjoying the simplicity as well. Number four would be not following their dreams. So many older statesmen and women express regret for not following their dreams. Maybe it was because they were scared or didn't have the right cheerleader urging them on. Perhaps it was life circumstances or the needing to get a safe job to support their young family. In any event, not following passions and dreams is something many people end up regretting when they look back on their lives. And this is not to say be foolish.
Yeah, no.
It is to examine and say, hey, what do we want to do with our lives? What are we able to do? Are we able to pursue this passion that you've been uniquely created and skilled and gifted in, that you can utilize that in a job?
Yeah, and I think to your point earlier, you know, when talking about, what was that other one? Spending too much time working. Yeah, maybe you can't retire when you're late 50s, early 60s, but maybe you can partially retire.
That's good.
You know, maybe you can have a part-time job where it's not as much stress. You have more time for your loved ones or the things that give you joy in life. maybe you can do that for another 5 years and then actually be financially stable to fully retire. So just being a little bit more creative. And that's something we really enjoy doing, is sitting down with folks and going through these things. And when people don't like their jobs, we know it almost immediately.
Yeah, that's right.
We see it very quickly. And but they're like, hey, I could do this or I could do that. And it's like, well, why don't you just do that?
Yeah, why don't you do that?
Because you know, it's something you're more passionate about. You're going to enjoy it more. It's not going to be as stressful for you. So I think it's a good one.
That's good. Yeah, this next one is not being a better parent or child or sibling or just family member. It's always those closest to us whom we tend to treat the worst. Man, that's interesting, and it tends to be very true.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because we're so comfortable around them that we don't have any filter or consideration for their feelings. Now, whatever it is, there's probably isn't one of us who doesn't feel like they could be a better family member, wife, husband, child, father. And so spending time, you know, really thinking through and saying, hey, who are the people in my life? And who are they? Like, what are their likes? What are their dislikes? What do they enjoy? What do they struggle with? How can I spend time with them? It's very cliche to say, but there's no one on their deathbed who says, man, I wish I would have known my family less. Mm-hmm. It's always, man, I wish I would have spent more time with them or known them more or loved them better. So yeah, that would be a very applicable one for most people.
Yeah. And this builds off it. Regret number six is not spending enough time with kids. And I think, you know, the others are good, but there is obviously this unique relationship parents have with their kids. Is, I mean, you're their only parent, and you have them for 18 years, sometimes less, sometimes more, but 18 years that they're with you. And this interesting statistic that he points out in the article is that if you take from age 18 through the rest of your life, you will spend the equivalent of a 19th year with your kids. So he's saying basically you have from when they're born to they're 18, and then if they leave and you know, leave the house and you know, follow that kind of traditional model, is that it's only one more additional year that you have with them
over the rest of
your life. You know, obviously
time-wise.
Yeah, time-wise. Yeah. And obviously, you know, that statistic vary, but I think that's an interesting way to frame it.
It is. I've never heard that.
That you've got 18 years and then one more year only
for the rest
that.
Because they're living independently.
They're living elsewhere. Yeah, they might come home for vacations. Yeah. They might come home for a weekend. But for the most part, they've got a life elsewhere.
Wow. Yeah, man, that's staggering.
So to think, and this is what helps me too. I mean, I've got young kids, four of them. They're hard. They're, you know, challenging some days more than others. But when you think, like, my oldest, he'll be 10. I mean, only eight more years. It's like, I can do that.
Yeah,
I can do it for 8 more years. I can prioritize.
Yeah, that,
you know,
prioritization.
Yep. Yeah, I can prioritize him, and that's real good. And then obviously my daughter and my twins after that. So it's just, but it's a good perspective to have. Not, you know, regret number six, not spending the time with your kids. Regret number seven, not sharing feelings with those closest to them. So, I think this takes time too, as you mentioned, Matthew. It just takes time to spend with somebody enough to be vulnerable with them. You know, you got to invest. You got to have time to do that. If you're always busy, you don't have the time to do that. So think of the people that are close to you that you want to share a little bit more in depth with, your spouse, your friends, maybe a cousin, maybe a sibling. Think of those people and invest there, because having those deeper relationships gives you a greater joy and satisfaction in life.
That's good. second to last one here is holding grudges and or not trying to reconcile with people that you have grudges with. It's hard being angry, and it takes so much more effort than happy. It's exhausting.
It's exhausting.
It's tiring. And, you know, we're not telling you that there aren't people who have not wronged you or that you have wronged. We're not saying that there's not hurt, but we do know that life is short, and, you know, depending on how old you are, you likely have under 70 to 80 years left on this earth. Some of you far less than that. Some of you,
unless you're like
more.
Four.
Unless you're four and you're listening to this podcast.
We encourage 4-year-olds. Yeah. We encourage all 4-year-olds to listen to this.
But seriously, I mean, like, we have a limited amount of time.
Yeah.
And so this tends to be a big regret for most is holding a grudge. And the reality is we will all die.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's just, how can we reconcile? How can we make relationships that are broken mended. As far as it depends on us, we should say that.
Yeah, but I think it is worth asking. You know, who are you holding a grudge against? Yeah. Is there something you can do? Sometimes there isn't. Totally get that. Sometimes there isn't. Sometimes the other person's not receptive. But sometimes it really is just your first act, and it can be the simplest act that really changes things. That's good.
Yeah, that's right. And this last one is not saving more, right? So as financial planners, we do hear this of, you know, man, if I only knew this when I was 20, then.
Yeah.
And so if you're 20 and you're listening to this podcast, listen. Yeah. Right? And like, this is something that you can start now and start young and start early. And it can affect the next, you know, the rest of your life and how you save and how you live and how you retire. And if you're 65 and you're one of those people that have said, man, if I was only 20 then, well, share this with your grandkids, share this with those who are 12, and, you know, begin teaching and you actually live out living below your means, and being satisfied and being content and saving and giving and spending well. And being that model for people who are younger, who are 20 or who are 30 or who are younger than you. And you can make that impact in the next generation. Yeah. So, yeah, you know, for you and for others, this saving is important.
Yeah, it is. It is. And like you mentioned, starting early is just means you don't have to save as much over the long term because you're allowing it to grow and compound and stuff. So, you know, whatever there are tons of regrets out there. I'm sure as you're listening to this, you're thinking of other regrets that you've had. And I think it's good to spend time thinking about those things, to think how they've affected you and how you want to change or adjust and how you want to communicate that to those around you. Maybe those your same age, those who are younger. I think hopefully hearing this, you're motivated to at least hear some of these and make a difference, make a change. To adjust your situation. Right. So that's 9 biggest regrets that this guy, and I think we see as financial planners. So.
Yeah, that's right.
Good. Good read. Good thinker piece. Thought-provoking.
Yeah,
reflective piece. Next, we're going to move to our question of the week. Matthew, I got a question for you.
Sure.
Not me.
This is a question from a client.
From a client.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I owe $55,000 on my car.
Wow.
And it's now worth $40,000. Should I sell it and get a smaller loan in car and pay it off sooner? Or do I keep this one and pay it off?
Yeah. Well, great question. Complicated. A lot of different factors go into this, right? Different situations. How much is your cash? How much other debt do you have? What's your income? How stable is your job? What are your other responsibilities, right? A lot goes into this question. But, you know, generally, if someone is upside down on their car and they are aggressively paying off debt and they're just sick and tired of having debt and being in the same situation, it would be reasonable to sell the car, to still have $15,000 that you pull out from another loan to satisfy that car lien, and then to get a smaller car with a loan on that. So instead of owing $55,000, maybe you get a $10,000 car, and, you know, instead of $55,000 you owe, maybe it's $25,000. Mm-hmm. And you're able to immediately wipe off $30,000 of debt by selling that car and getting a cheaper one. And that is a huge step for someone who is aggressively paying off debt. So, you know, it depends on how you view debt and how you think about it. If it causes marital stress, we would obviously put an asterisk by that and an exclamation mark and say, yeah, you should really consider this. But yeah, great question. There's a lot of different facets for that. But generally, we would say the quicker you can pay off debt, the better financially, and also stress and just balance of life you'll be.
I think it's good. Yeah. If anything, if you find yourself in a similar situation, at least consider options. I think that's kind of...
Yeah, that's right. And reach out to us if you have any questions on this.
Very good. Very good. All right, let's move on to our next topic, talking about some home exclusions.
Yeah, that's right.
So a little bit more granular here.
Yeah, this will be a quicker article. But yeah, it's talking about the IRS capital gains for home sales and then specifically the exclusion that the IRS gives. And this can be a valuable tax-saving tool if you're eligible. So you may have concerns about this, but there's a tax provision known as the Section 121 exclusion or 121 exclusion. And this can help save on taxes following a home sale. In simple terms, a capital gains tax exclusion enables homeowners who meet specific requirements to exclude up to $250,000 if you're single or $500,000 if you're married of gains from the sale of their primary residence. This means that if you gain less than those two amounts, then there's no taxes. It's tax-free. And there are several exceptions to the 121 exclusion rule. And so, yeah, here's some more thoughts on that and just helping to kind of get a baseline for you if you're listening.
Yeah, so here are some requirements for the exclusion. Primary residence. So you must have owned and used the home as your primary residence for at least two of the 5 years leading up to the date of the sale. So the IRS allows you to have only one primary residence at a time, and the agency uses various factors to determine whether a home qualifies as a primary residence. But notably, however, the 2 years don't have to be consecutive, single block of time during the 5 years. That's an interesting and important point.
Yeah.
The next is you can claim this exclusion once every 2 years. So if you have already excluded gains from a previous home within the last 2 years, you will need to wait before you can claim it again. Right. So that's an important point. And then the next rule is the exclusion applies only to gains from your house sale, not losses. This is also important. I mean, although in this environment, I feel like most people have gains. But yeah. You know, any portion of the profit exceeding the $250,000 or $500,000 limit, if you're married, will be subject to capital gains tax. So it's important to just keep detailed records of your home sale, including the purchase price, any improvements made to the property, any expenses. These records will help you accurately calculate your capital gains and determine if you qualify for the exclusion.
Yeah, that's right. And these you know, let's say you had more gain than the exclusion, you know, then it would be taxed at capital gains.
Capital gains, right.
And it depends on if it's short-term or long-term loss, or excuse me, long-term gain. So, you know, there's a lot of different factors that
go on. If you bought a house and sold it within a year and made over $500,000 on it, that'd be impressive.
You should be okay to pay the tax on that.
Yeah.
Because that's incredible.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a great point. So the home sale exclusion exceptions, you know, as mentioned, there are several exceptions to this exclusion, and they're more generous to people for certain situations, such as transferring a home to a spouse or ex-spouse. You know, it's not a gain or loss. Other exceptions to the rules can apply to U.S. military service members or where, again, you know, the primary home is a factor in separation, divorce, or death of a spouse. Situations involving vacant lands, destroyed homes, like-kind exchanges, or business or rental income generally are not excluded. So you will have to pay the taxes on those, and there's no gain that's excluded. Again, this is trying to incentivize people who have a primary residence that if they sell it and make a profit, it can be a big part of their nest egg. So they're trying to exclude that for primary resident holders.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's also this important point about a partial home exclusion. So if you don't meet the eligibility test for the maximum home sale exclusion, you may still qualify for a partial exclusion of gain, which can be really helpful for a lot of people. So, you know, for example, you meet the requirements for a partial exclusion and your main reason for your home sale was you're changing workplace location, which is very common.
Yep.
Maybe it's a health issue or another unforeseen event. And you can look up how to calculate this exclusion a little bit more. But if in this case, with certain factors, basically you can take a partial exclusion depending on the years that you lived in the home.
Yep.
And you can prorate it and all that stuff. And so you can look more in detail, but there is that, just to point out, there's that partial exclusion.
Yep, that's good.
And we've known people personally who've taken advantage of that. And it's always a good idea to consult with a tax professional. I've seen some other challenge, kind of a more detailed situations, different states living in it. And I forgot the exact situation, but it was I think it was a prospective client, but they, it was pretty confusing.
Yeah.
And we're like, it might be good to sit down
with CPA.
Yeah, talk to CPA on that, because it was complex. But anyway, there is that exclusion. There's the partial exclusion. Look into it, because I mean, it could save you tens of thousands of dollars, depending on
that's
how
right.
much your gain is. So,
that's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
That was good. So, good reminder.
Good article from Kiplinger.
Yes. Oh, that was Kiplinger too. Okay. Yep. Look at that. We're doubling up on Kiplinger today. It's a good place. Good place to find articles to discuss. And that brings us to our prescription, man.
Yeah.
It's been a good show so far. But yeah, we've got one last prescription.
Do you have some good medicine for the listeners?
Got some medicine for you. Yes.
Okay. Let's hear it.
You've inherited money.
Wow.
Now what?
Great question.
That's your prescription.
That's not a prescription.
Oh, here comes the prescription.
Okay. All right.
So if that's you, you've inherited money, what do you do? Hmm. I think the first thing to do is to sit down with your advisor, sit down with someone you trust. Don't rush into spending it.
Hmm.
That's the first disclaimer. A lot of times in the middle of grief, we make rash decisions. So sit for a little bit, meet with an advisor. It depends on what kind of money you inherited. There's beneficiary IRAs, there's after-tax accounts. Sometimes it's in a trust and there's stipulations. Just to look at it, make your decisions slowly. A great thing to do is look at the debts that you have. Hmm. See if you can pay down those debts. I think the sadness of losing a loved one, but then the alleviating some other stress you have, that's a good way to use any inheritance money you have. And I think, you know, blessing other people as well. Mm. I mean, goodness, you know, you receive an inheritance, and how can you use this not just for your good, but for also for the good of others is a good way to think about it. Yeah, I don't know, Matthew, if you have any thoughts on that. You can watch the video up on our website as well for more detail on that. But yeah, any insight on this?
Yeah, no, just being careful also with inherited IRAs. There's certain rules with that, you know, making sure you're aware of that. But no, I think that's great, man. I think it's inevitable that people pass. And if you receive an inheritance, you know, being thoughtful what you do with that, it's good.
Yeah, and I think to that point too, you know, if you're... obviously, you don't know when you're going to die.
If you're planning on dying.
Yeah, I guess everyone's planning on dying in some regards. But make sure your situation's set up so that it's less stressful for your heirs.
Great point.
Because it can be, we've seen situations where it's extremely stressful and it's just hard to manage and deal with. And you can't find documents and it's disorganized. Sure. So, yeah, if you're on the other side of that, even though you won't be here, it still is helpful on the flip side.
Yeah,
so,
that's right.
Yeah, so good prescription. Good show, good articles this week. It's good to be with you, Matthew.
Yeah, you
always
well.
Good to discuss things with you. And I hope you enjoyed this edition of Money MD. Tune in next week, moneymd.net, to hear more prescriptions for financial health. You can check out our website, moneymd.net. You can send us your questions, like we answered or we talked about a question day, question of the week. Put your questions out to us so that we can talk about them on the show. And you can give us a call at Richard Young Associates at 706-739-0725. I hope you enjoyed listening. I hope you have a great weekend and don't have too many allergy attacks from all the pollen. That's it. It was good. Good to be here. Have a good weekend.
Program is intended for general information only and should not be taken as specific investment, tax, or legal advice. None of the information contained in this broadcast is intended by the host to be a solicitation for the purchase or sale of any security. All hosts are representatives of Richard Young Associates, a registered investment advisor.